Pablo for breakfast.
People of the Pilbara.
Hello and welcome to People of the Pilbara. Now, this podcast series is all about you, the people of our town that make Karratha such a special place to live. And I think there's something really unique about people that come to a place maybe they've never heard of in the middle of a desert, apparently with nothing to do. But as we all know, a lot of us come for a 6 month to 12 month plan and end up staying a decade, like I did. So this podcast series, we're going to have a chat to everyday people that call Karratha home and find out what they do here, what they love about Karratha, and what's next in their journey. And this week's guest is Jake Swaffer from Northwest Recycling. We chat behind the scenes of what it's like in recycling and some of the new measures coming in place over the next couple of years and how Jake ended up in Karratha. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a cuppa and enjoy my chat with Jake and his journey to call Karratha home. Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, mate. Good to catch up.
Now, what brought you to Karratha? Because initially, I thought you were a bit of a Karratha boy. I thought that you grew up here, but you turned up in town about 12 years ago.
Yeah, 12 years. That's gone pretty quick. I don't know how long you've got to be here to be a local, but we must be sort of getting nearly close. Yeah, we just had enough of sort of where we're living and thought, you know, let's go for a bit of a holiday and give it a crack somewhere else. And like most people, you know, that end up in Karratha, they end up here some way and don't really ever leave.
Well, you came over to help a friend. So did you know much about Karratha before you got here?
Not really. I had a mate from back home and he moved across about a year before us. And, you know, we're into skiing and fishing and all that stuff back in SA. And we caught up, you know, a year after he left at Christmas time. And, you know, he was telling us when we were skiing about how good the money was and the lifestyle and the weather. And It got to a stage where, you know, I didn't sort of have too much money to keep putting fuel in the ski boat. And he covered it for a few days. And I thought, this is too good to be true. So I think it was in Feb we moved over. Just a perfect time. Just come straight into the heat and the humidity. And we moved across and, yeah, love it.
Well, what was those first impressions? Because February, it's pretty hot.
Well, we got here. I think it was like a two-day drive. We pretty much did it continuously. And then we got here and it was like, I just thought we'd landed on Mars. Everything was red and dead and hot. And yeah, it was quite different. But yeah, I like it.
Well, 12 years ago, I mean, things obviously in your life were a lot different back then. Were you guys married when you came over with Jody?
No, so come over together. Yep. Got married in Karratha and had the had the Pilbara wedding down at the Palms in Dampier like most people do.
Beautiful. And then you had two boys, obviously. But when you first came here, town was really different. It was very, like, single blokes. You know, it was a big pub culture and FIFO and all that kind of stuff. So when you rocked up, your first impression of you, like, were you thinking you were going to stick around or were you like, oh, we'll give this 6 months and get out of here?
Yeah, it was extremely, you know, different. Everything was, like you say, high vis. And I think the biggest noticeable thing was the reverse alarms on all the utes leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. That was probably the biggest eye-opener. The culture was a little bit different, but, you know, sort of single, well, not single life, but, you know, together with me and Jody before kids. So it didn't really sort of impact what we were doing too much. I just liked it. There was, you know, there was no traffic lights. There was no two-story buildings. It was, you know, you'd move into a little town. Everyone sort of knew each other. And just the weather and the outdoors and the just the opportunity. There's just so much opportunity right from the day that we got here.
Well, now people would know you from obviously the business, Northwest Recycling, but when you came over, what were you doing?
So I come over, I'm an electrician. Jody got a job at the safety supply shop in Crane Circle. So I've worked at numerous different electrical companies here in Savannahs and Monos and ended up at Rio driving trains for Rio. And then kept an eye out on the containers for change. We grew up in South Australia, so that was our form of pocket money right from when we were kids. So, you know, when they introduced it into WA, we were super keen to get our hands on the recycling depot and the license. Just kept an eye out, put in a good application, got awarded that, and that was, you know, sort of really what sort of helped us get on our feet.
Well, it's funny, like, when did all this start? Because, you're from South Australia, I'm originally from Victoria, so it's just a common thing, right? You used to collect your cans and get some money. I couldn't believe it that WA just wasn't part of the culture.
Yeah, it was like that, you know, like you say, 12 years ago when we moved here, everything just went in the bin. It's just everything was rubbish. You know, now we're moving closer to 2025 and 2050 with some pretty big goals to achieve. You know, we've got to be sort of doing our best we can with recycling and energy and all that sort of stuff.
So when did this come into WA? It was 2019?
Yeah, so we opened 2020, October. It was delayed by 6 months. COVID was supposed it was supposed to be early 20. So we've come on board. Victoria's still not on board, just to rub it into you.
Right.
SA's been on board for 43 years, or 44 years now, I think. So yeah, it's really grown into, you know, the kids that grew up through SA, and, you know, it's ingrained.
So what made you think this is something you wanted to do, though? Because it's a pretty big change from being an electrician to, you know, collecting cans.
Yeah, it's a pretty big opportunity. We'd seen it done in SA. We've got friends that do it on the East Coast, and really wanted to get it and get it set up right, so, you know, give everyone the opportunity to be able to recycle. There's some other depots, you know, that aren't quite, you know, up to the standard of what we've got with, you know, automation and that. So our goal is to, you know, be able to provide that recycling to everyone, you know, kids, old people, mine sites. So we've got a commercial site as well. But, you know, for some people, that's their only form of income now, which is really good. It's been a noticeable change in Karratha, you know, about how clean everything is now. So, you know, it works in everyone's favour. There's no really, there's nothing bad about it.
Well, I think the key to it as well is having it in town, right? Because if it's on the outskirts, say it was out in the LIA or something like that, I wouldn't be probably bothered to drive. And the key thing, you know, my daughter loves it. She's like, let's go take the cans in, because, you know, obviously she gets to keep the cash, so it's win-win. Because it's in town, you end up going.
Yeah, the convenience is key. It has to be convenient. And when we started, you know, we fought hammer and tong that we wanted it in Crane Circle. We found some land there that wasn't being used, so we bought that from the state government. That was a process in itself. And obviously, as you know, getting the application through Shire with our development application on that location, recycling was new in WA, so everyone thought, you know, it was going to be this big, you know, huge pile of rubbish in the middle of town, and we were recycling plutonium, which they soon found out that, you know, it's the containers out of their kitchen fridge. So I think we've done a good job with setting it up nice and neat and tidy, and we haven't had any negative feedback from anyone. So you know, it's the key of having it close that everyone can access. You know, so you know, even if you've got $3 worth of containers or $300 worth of containers, it's easy for you guys to get to.
Now, you mentioned something about 2025 and 2030, some changes around recycling. What are those sort of key milestones that we're aiming for?
Yeah, well, sort of recycling is going to get, you know, more strict as we move into sort of 25, you know, with less single-use items, you know, being available and being for use, which is good. But more the climate change stuff, there's going to be some big moves into 25 and 2050 to achieve some goals with energy usage and, you know, carbon credits and that sort of thing.
Now, as far as, like, volume that you guys are doing down there, I don't know if you know the exact numbers and whatnot, but, I mean, when I ever go there, there seems to be a heap of cans around, a lot of emu export down there.
Yeah, a few exports. So we try to sort of, you know, have a tally on, but it changes week to week on, you know, what the flavour of the week is. So export's definitely up there. Plastic water bottles, that's our biggest recycler, is our clear PET. When you're mixing our domestic and our commercial, a lot of the mine sites are drinking single-use plastic water containers. Mm-hmm. So that's good, but yeah, we do see quite a few emu exports coming through.
Well, I mean, it must be it's quite refreshing and rewarding to know how much you're diverting from landfill, though, right? Because we must be taking a lot out of the tip to go into this.
Yeah, there definitely is. I can't sort of give you too much on the metrics of volume, but we're sort of still growing, you know, 20% month on month, which is really good for us up here. But, you know, on a busy week where, you know, we're putting out over 300, you know, 400,000 containers out of the
depot. So what happens to it? So I pop it in the chute, I get my 10 cents. I know the team behind there sorted out and make sure I've taken the lid off and whatnot. What happens to it after that?
So yeah, we're the refund point operator. So we refund, you know, the guys off of the street, come in and get their money for the container, and then we put them into the cages. Each cage is got a label on there and a number. We can tell you how many containers are actually going into that exact cage, who was served, what day, time, transaction was. And then from there, the cover goes on the cage. Cleanaway are our logistics partner. They pick it up from us. They take it out to the Cleanaway depot out on the Tom Price Road. and all the glass gets crushed and all the plastic and aluminium gets put into bales. And they store it there, and then it goes onto a portal, and it gets bought by authorised recyclers from around Australia, which might be buying the glass for, you know, roads and aggregates, or they might be using it for re-blowing bottles, and the plastics as well. So it has to go to a used recycler that's actually been approved by the state government. So it actually gets made back into something. It doesn't just go to landfill or, you know, stored in warehouses like the old red plastics got done with the other week.
Yeah, it was tragic to hear that falling over. Now, I remember, like, in the news, probably like 6-8 months ago, there was all this talk about China doesn't want any more recycling, or they don't want to buy our recycling anymore. Has that impacted things?
I don't think it's impacted our waste streams as such, not with recyclables, maybe with, you know, with waste that can't be recycled.
Yeah.
They've just got different EPA laws over there and what they were doing with the plastics. And, you know, they run a lot of energy farms over there where they'll burn, like, completely everything. So the EPA doesn't really govern as much as what they do in Australia on. So they're basically making power. So they're using that fuel,
right,
you know, to burn, to run steam. For energy, basically.
Right.
So it is a good thing that we've stopped exporting it, and we're using it for our own, you know, our own purposes. So it's created a lot of, you know, new industry and jobs across Australia. So
now let's rewind to you rocking up in town. What's kept you here over all these years?
Look, there's heaps of things that's sort of kept us here. We're, you know, we've got so much, you know, at our fingertips, you know, whether it be camping and fishing in the islands. You know, we've got Exmouth down the road, we've got Broome up the road, and really it's only a plane trip, you know, and you're back in Perth within 2 hours. The weather, being outdoors.
I think you're on a mission to catch Karratha's biggest fish, aren't you?
Oh, I think everyone up there is, mate, for sure. We'll definitely give it a good nudge. But just the opportunity, there's so much opportunity. Karratha is what you make of it. It's, yeah, you know, the more you put in, the more you get out. So, yeah, there's so much everyone, you know, at their fingertips.
Now, if we gave you the almighty power, Jake, to change anything in town, to build anything, to make a policy or whatever it is, what would you do?
Oh, man, you dropped this one on me. I don't really know, man. It changes from day to day. It depends sort of how I feel and what I want to do. But I think Karratha is tracking pretty well at the moment. You know, when we look at what we've got and then what our surrounding towns have got, yeah, we're in a pretty good spot.
Now, what's next for you and next for the business? Are you expanding to other places in the Pilbara? Or?
Yeah, I dropped a few hints earlier about the old 2025. yeah, to around sort of carbon credits and energy. And we've got quite a big project on the go at the moment. It's just sort of in its... in its early stages, so I can't let too much information out about that, but it'll be yeah, quite a large project and pretty much impacted and noticed by everyone in Karratha, much the same as our recycling, but on a much larger scale.
Now, Jake, we ask all our guests this, something that people wouldn't know about you. Have you got a secret party skill or something in the early days of growing up that people would be like, oh, I didn't know Jake did that?
Look, probably not one I want to share. I don't know, mate. As you know, I am who I am. You know, sometimes sort of just say what I think, but I think, you know, then people know where they're at. Just be honest.
Well, I think the business obviously doing really, really well. It's great to see WA's gotten on board, and I can't wait till you can come back and tell us what 2025 and 2030 is all about. All right.
Yeah, that's going to be big. Yeah, it'll be big. It'll be good.
Well, Jake, appreciate you joining us on the podcast.
Cool. Thanks, Bubba.
From round the corner
to your street and neighbourhood,
this is Pablo for breakfast.